Imagine the boys that wrote that song were preacher's boys. And they were. So, if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in the book of Daniel this morning. We're going to be around the chapter. Actually, I don't think you're the only one that was kind of struggling up here a little bit. I am too. But that's okay. There we go. All right, so we're going to be in around chapter 6. We're going to talk about Daniel a little bit this morning. And I want to get you kind of up to that place where you need to kind of bring yourself in, because we're going to knock down the walls that are in our lives. But I want to tell you, many of us have had some horrible relationships. Some of you, we've had moments in our life where we felt like darkness had come up on us in our relationship with our family. We've had arguments and division in our family. And when we may fuss it out, we may argue it out. But when we go home and we lay that head down, we can't even sleep. We have sleepless nights. Anybody been there? Anybody had one of those sleepless nights because you got into it with your parents, you got into it with your family, and you're struggling with it, and it's because you love them so much, you don't want that division going on. There's other things, you got a financial issue that's coming up, and you're not sure how you're gonna pay it because you just don't have those kind of funds to pay it, and you go, and you're laying in there in the bed, and it just seems like during the midnight hours you're trying to sleep, but you just can't help but think about that big bill that's due, or whatever it is that with those finances that are creeping up on you. Sometimes it feels like one of your best friends that betrays you, and you're like, I just can't believe what was going on, and you rework it in your head over all night long. And then there's those big ones where you that are married, and we won't admit it, but there's been times where you one slept in the bed and the other one slept on the couch, and because there's been some issues, there's been some problems, and so there's some moments in the nighttime hours and those wee nights. Nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing really truly good happens after midnight. We're supposed to be sleeping, unless you're one of those oddball people who work on the third shift. But nothing really good happens after midnight. And out on the streets, nothing really good happens after midnight. They even sing songs, even old country songs that says, the girls all get prettier at closing time. Your whole mind changes at midnight. Your whole attitude changes at midnight. What you see looks different after midnight. Because in those hours, we get in sometimes in places we shouldn't be. But there's times when we get in that place that we get lonely. Now, I'll tell you what, right now, I guarantee you, there's probably maybe about a third of our group here today, and I think I'm pretty good, that many of you, some of us are lonely. We don't have the friends that we wish we had. You don't have that true go-to person that you would like to share and just kind of vent a little bit about what's going on in your life. You'd like to, but you don't trust nobody. There's a little part of that. We have a loneliness in our life, and so in those moments, we struggle. We struggle in those night hours. We struggle in our life when we get to that place where we have a broken heart. Something has happened. We lost a loved one. We lost someone that we love, or someone has betrayed us, and our heart is broken. And when those broken times comes, we don't know what to do. And some people they don't know what to do. So they'll go to use drugs. They'll go to use alcohol. They'll go to do things, and they'll meet down at the bar. And then there's a lot of acquaintances there, but there is no true friends there. I will tell you, there is truly very few friends in that place. But as a Christian, we need to know different. Now, we can work through these broken times. It's hard, because as a Christian, you are going to be challenged. Your faith is going to be tested. You're going to have some of the same things that happen in those that are not saved in their lives. Things that happen in their lives, they're also going to happen in your life. You're going to share loss. They're going to have loss. You're going to have times and moments of loneliness and unsurety. They're going to have moments of loneliness and unsurety. When they have moments of family crisis, you also have experienced family crisis. But we are to be doing it a little different. And so we're going to see some things here through the story of Daniel and how he worked through it. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that one has already happened. You see, some people, when they're under attack, under persecution, something's is happening with someone else. It's not happening to you right now, But something's going to happen to you. Your faith will be tested. You live in a broken world. We are sinners, but we are sinners for us that are Christians, saved by grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're going to live our life different. But that doesn't exclude us and make us immune to problems in the world. Amen? We're going to have problems in the world, and Daniel's about ready to have one, and he is at a pretty high level. Sometimes you think you're at a place where you think you need to be, where you worked hard to get, whatever it may be. I'm telling you, it's a long, long way to the top, and it's real quick to drop. And it's how you handle it. It determines who you are. Every one of you have character. Every one of you have a personality. But it's where your character and how strong your personality is and many things. But it will never take the place of a full victory unless you have Jesus Christ in it. Amen. All the king's men here, Darius's men, so-called smart and the intellectual people, come to the king, and they come to him, and here's what they say in verse 7. All the administrators in the kingdom. Now today, I usually got my New King James Version, but today I got my Homer Version because I got my notes in there, and I like how it reads. It's more like a storytell. I think this is where we need to be, so you guys know I use different versions from time to time. So, Homer Version today. All the administrators of the kingdom and the prefects, the satraps, advisors, and the governors have agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an edict for that for 30 days anyone who petitions any god or man except you, he will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish this edict and sign the document that as the law of the Medes and Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed. So King Darius signed the document. I want to tell you right now, there are a lot of people, and I don't like to talk about politics, but there's a lot of people right now trying to get our governor to sign some things that probably aren't good. I know right now, because I sat with two of our state senators a couple of weeks ago in a luncheon, and they were sharing that they, once again, they're trying to get into tax the tithing, tax the properties, and there's every year there's a group of people that's attacking the church. It always wants to make the church say so-called do their part. And I want to tell you right now, there's a lot of people, and you know it, there's a lot of people trying to get in with the president, trying to get him to sign some certain things, and the Superior Court and all those things. That's not a new game. That's not a new game. It's right here. Again, we see it right here. These people, the so-called the minds of the world, are telling the king what he should do and make it out for 30 days. I'll tell you what. They had a different purpose. It wasn't just to lift the king up. They had a purpose. They wanted to take Daniel out. Same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can go check that story out a few chapters before. Different king. Some same people, a bunch of so-called minds of the world. Darkness will always try to snuff out and always try to extinguish the light in the world. And if you, as Jesus says, you are the light of the world, and we're to carry it and shine like a city on a hill, we're supposed to do that. Darkness is going to come from time to time. It's going to come and try to take out the light that you shine for Jesus in your neighborhood, in your church, in your work, and in your life. And here it is, Daniel is doing his thing. They're doing it because he prays three times a day. They're doing it because he is a man of God, and he continues to do that, and he serves here as a slave, as they are all under this slavery, but he still continues to serve God in the best abilities that he can. And so they turn around and they catch him. They catch him. They catch him praying. Do you know in 2014 that the Houston mayor tried to subpoena all the preachers' messages? 2014, the mayor tried to subpoena all the preaching messages in Houston. It's the same stuff. Why go after those preachers? Why go after? Because the things they were preaching was against the way that she was living and against the way of the world. It was the preaching is trying to share the light of Jesus, so the darkness comes in and using high position, but there became such a pressure that she had to cave in. That was 2014. I wouldn't be surprised if that wouldn't be tried again in a few more years. Because that's just what darkness does. Darkness doesn't have new tricks. It just keeps doing the same thing over and over and over. And keeps dripping and dripping and just keep nitpicking and keep pushing and shoving. And so here we find out that Daniel is at a moment in his life. He's at a moment where he's like, you know what? I'm going to pray. So he says this. And he says, then they replied to the king, Daniel, there is one in the Judean exiles. He has ignored you. And the king and the edict that you signed, for he prays three times a day. That's what they were really getting at. They said it right there. He prays three times a day. He prays three times a day. How many times do you pray a day? I hope that you pray daily. I'll just say that. I hope that you pray daily. We are believers in Christ. We need to be praying, edifying the Lord in our hearts, letting him know our supplications, the things that we need to pray for, also praying for other people. And we need to have a communication with our Father. We need to have a communication with our Savior. He says, as soon as the king heard this, he was very displeased. And he set his mind on rescuing Daniel. And there's the thing now. He set his mind on rescuing Daniel because he knew Daniel, and they had some sort of a friendship there. And Daniel, but the king couldn't change it because whatever the Medes and the Persians put together, it was irrevocable. It was unchangeable. Okay? Anytime you put something in law, it can be super hard, but you take it out, it's even harder. Okay? So as soon as the king heard this, he was very displeased, and he set his mind on rescuing Daniel, and he made every effort until sundown to deliver him. During that whole daytime, I'm sure that was the talk of the town. That was the talk of the kingdom. Everything was the talk of the kingdom. Here, this guy Daniel, he did some amazing things, but now his life is going to be taken, and he's going to be put in there with the lions, and we're going to see a death. We'll know that there's a death, and there's this big piece. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's doing their thing. But as the lights and everything begin to go down, here's what he goes. He goes, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Even sometimes the lost people can't help but to say, may God bless you. May God answer your prayers. I've even heard lost people say, praying for you. It just comes out. And he says, may God rescue you. May he rescue you. And then they put a stone, they brought it and placed it over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring, with the signet rings on his nobles, so that nothing in regard to Daniel could be changed. The situation not going to change. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. Spent the night fasting. No diversions. Nothing was given to him. They were brought to him, and he could not sleep. So he didn't eat. He didn't do anything. He didn't fast. He didn't have any dancing. He didn't have no entertainment. He was working through this. I want to ask you, this is the king, this is King Darius. Daniel was his friend. He made this thing. He regrets doing it. He knows what happened. He knows he was tricked, and they wiggled that piece in. He can't change it. But he goes home and he fasts. He doesn't take any entertainment. And he's up all night. Have you ever been up all night with someone for the pain that they're going through? Have you ever been with somebody? Maybe you were with them in the room. Maybe it was a hospital room. Maybe it was a place in your home. Maybe you weren't able to be with them. Because when you go through a time of darkness sometimes in your life, there's a part here where you can have people that can walk with you through it. But there's going to be a moment where it's going to be just you. You see, your faith is not, it's just going to be you. With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was those three guys right there. But there comes a time, sometimes it's just like Daniel, it's just you. It's like Joseph being thrown into that well pit and into prison and false accusations. It's just you. It's Job laying there with his, and he loses his family, and he loses his finances and all the things that he has. And his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? And there's a moment where when she said that, she disconnected for a moment. She disconnected, and it was just him. There's going to be times when you're going to go through moments, even as a husband and wife, where you're going to be there, and you know, the two come together. I get that. We are. But there are some times when you're going to have to carry. Well, sometimes one carries the other. But you're going to come through those moments, and you're going to be like in a cave. Just like Elijah. I'm the only one left. But you're not the only one left. You're not the only one left. You're not the first person to go through that problem that you're going through. You're not the first person to walk into that cave. The difference is, when you walk into that cave, will you be different when you walk out? Will the circumstances that brought you in that cave, will they trump your life? Will they take over? Will your circumstances reign in your life and make you who you are now? Or will you walk in there and become triumphal, get a victory in there, and be able to walk out and become a stronger man or a woman of God when you walk out? That's the times of faith testing that we go through from time to time. So here it is in the midnight hours. The king is there in his palace. No entertainment, no food tonight, because he said he could not sleep. Because sometimes the things that we do and we say, do you know sometimes it affects somebody else? How many times have you opened your mouth and you've hurt somebody else's feelings? Now, we got to grow a little rhino skin. People are going to say things, okay? People are going to say some things in our life. We're going to have to take a little bit of heat once in a while. But when it comes from a close friend, when it comes from a family member, and you didn't expect it coming, and it felt like a freight train and it hits you, sometimes it's not them has done it. Sometimes it's us who's done it to them. So sometimes we're not the only ones in a cave. Sometimes we're not the only ones in a dark hole. So the king is having his sleepless night for some things that he has done, the decisions that he has made, the choices that he has made. But in verse 19, I want to tell you, no matter where you're going, God already sees where you're heading. He's already waiting on you. He is the strongest. He is the most awesomest power in the whole universe. You are sometimes in the cave, you are in the safest place in the world. The rewards that are about ready to happen are beyond your comparability. You just can't comprehend it. But God's not going to reveal it to you, maybe at that moment, maybe not right after, but down the road He will. God is watching. You are not going to outshine the shiner. You are not going to outshine the one who created the light. And God is, sometimes it may be like, I don't feel Him. Have you ever been in a place where you're like, and there's been a few moments like, you know, there's been a moment earlier this year, it's like, Lord, I know You're here. And I've tried to teach myself through the scriptures and through the word and through prayer not to rely on my emotions. Emotions can change like the weather in Indiana, right? It goes this way to that way, that way to the... Your emotions can change. You can cry and laugh in the same minute. But there have been moments in my life, especially earlier this year, where I'm like, Lord, I'm not feeling You. And I'm telling you, when you know the feeling of the Holy Spirit and you know the presence of the Lord and you're not feeling Him, it can be a really dry and it can be a really dark place at times. And you get to that place and sometimes you feel like God is not there. But you got to know that it's not about emotion. It's about knowing His Word when He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lord, I'm going to hang on to one thing today. I'm going to hang on Your Word. Because I know Your Word is truth. I know Your Word does not come back void. I know that Your Word, what You say is what You are. And in those dark caves, your mind can be the loudest voice that you hear. Silence can be so loud. And we don't have a whole lot of description of what went on with Daniel in there, but I guarantee you he's a man of God, and we caught praying, he's going to be praying there. If he's going to be praying out in the sunshine, you know he's going to be praying in the dark. Amen? So he's praying. You know he's praying in there. But you know, sometimes in those dark moments, it's in those dark caves where it's just you, there's a moment that something's going to happen. Many times you're going to get a testimony in your life that nobody else is going to be able to see because they weren't part of it. They weren't in that cave. They weren't in that spot. They weren't in that dark moment. At first light, I want to tell you, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 30, verse 5, it says this, weeping may endure in the night, but joy comes in the morning. How many of y'all experienced that? I'm telling you what, I can raise my hand 20 times. I've experienced that. Man, I've had some nights. I've wrestled. I prayed. I wrestled. I wasn't sure, but something happens. A peace of God just comes over you. You actually do fall asleep, and you wake up, and your mind has changed. Your spirit and your heart has changed, and then there's a joy. But what is it? Does it mean the situation's always changed? No, but God puts a peace on His people. God puts his peace. You know what? And sometimes you just, if you have laid there in the bed and you set up and you're getting whether it's a cup of coffee or a cup of orange juice or whatever it may be, and it just dawns on you for a moment, he's been with me all night long. God never left you. He's been with you all night long. While you were sleeping, he was guarding you. Amen? Darkness will try to take you out. Here's what he says. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. I love that part because I got to see what my friend's doing. I got to see how my friend's night went because I was a part of the mess. I want to go see. You know what? This man has a heart. He's turning. He's running. He's wanting to see what's going on with his friend. He has a glimmer of hope. Nobody else does. But he has a glimmer of hope. He has a glimmer of hope. So at first light, at the dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. And when he reached the den, he cried out in a voice to anguish to Daniel. Daniel, servant of the living God. The king said, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Woo, I like that part. Have you ever had somebody say, hey, you've been praying for something? And you see it through yet? Not yet. Hey, I'm praying for you. I'm partnering with you. I'm going to pray with you on that. And so we need those people to be in our lives. So he sits there and he says that. Has he come through? Has he come through? Then Daniel spoke with the king. Uh-oh, the craziest thing happened. The man the voice that should have been buried and done speaks aloud. He says, may the king live forever. This is that hip and hopping kind of like Pentecostal moment that most of us haven't experienced. It's exciting. Here's the problem. Some of you can't see when God's working in our lives. Because if you did, we would always have testimonies from time to time, fresh testimonies all the time. He says, my God, send an angel. And he shut the lion's mouth. I'm going to tell you right there, it's a testimony right there. God sent an angel. Who can deny that? And nobody, because there's no way that these lions did not eat him up. Because they starve these animals so that when they do throw somebody in, they just ravage them. We'll see that in a moment. And he testifies. He says, God sent an angel. Now I would imagine about this time that all the people should be pretty nervous. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar says, whoa, 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 boys. We put three in there. I see four. And he, in his outrageous mind, says, hey, there's a fourth one, and he looks like the Son of God. Now, who gave him that? I tell you what, when lost people and saved people see Jesus, they'll all know it's him. We'll all know that it's him. Whether you know him, or you just know of him, you'll know it's Jesus. And here it is. Daniel is stepping. He is stepping up. He is stepping out. He says, they haven't hurt me, for I was found innocent before him, meaning God, and I also had not committed a crime against you. So he says, I've done nothing wrong. I've been judged. I've been tested. I am good. And then the king was overjoyed. I'm telling you right now, darkness is getting real nervous. The people that moved with darkness. He gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den uninjured, for he trusted God. He trusted his God. And the king gave the command, and those men who put Daniel and did all that, they went back and he had them ordered, and he had all their fans. He had those guys, and it sounds hard, horrible, but listen, they had them all thrown in. They had their wives thrown in. Their family thrown in, and their children thrown in. This is where people would say, God is so mean. But they never look at the people that they were trying to kill. And people say, God doesn't have a heart. God does have a heart, folks. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for all mankind. Not for the things that God has done. Not for the things that Jesus has done, but the things that you've done. We were able to make it out of the caves of life because of God's love and because of God's kindness and God's gentleness. We are able to make it out of the cave of darkness because of the love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe today that God still sends His angels. I still believe that God does miraculous things when we are in those moments where we don't know what to do, but we do know the one thing that we ought to do, and that is lift up the name of the Lord. The problem is, we are not as much like Daniel as we might think that we are. You see, Daniel prayed 3 times a day regularly. He was, number one, faithful to God. He was faithful to God. Number two, he continued to pray on a daily basis. Number three, he did not change who he was in the Lord. He did not let circumstance change who he was. And God saw all of that, yet was still tested to this mountaintop moment, and he did not falter. Now, like I said, darkness will flee, but I'll tell you what, darkness will flee, but only for a moment or a short while. It will change faces and use different situations. Because we cannot destroy darkness per se. We cannot do that. That's something between God will deal with that in the end when He makes this, and Christ when they do the final judgment, all of that. So these people were being used by darkness because they were lost. These people were being used by darkness to destroy the light. Now I want to ask you, in your life, and you've been through these moments when you've been lonely, you've been had those sleepless nights when you've had a broken heart, you've been lied to, you've had marriage issues, you had family division and all that. How do you get through those? Today I'm sharing with you how to get through those. You will experience a time or two of a dark moment in your life. And it's how you get through those times will determine how your character, how you walk in this world, how much light that you are shining for Jesus. Are you like a little light bulb on a little lamp? Are you like a lighthouse that just beams for Jesus wherever you go? But I will tell you, the brighter your light shines, the more darkness is going to try to, the more darkness is going to try to take you down. And some people say, what's the use? It's worth everything. You get to experience the hand of God in your life. You get the experience of watching God move in your life. You get to have testimonies in your life that are just amazing, that you know that only you can only make them out and make them through. You can only make it through by walking through it with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God is the answer to every one of our problems. All the scientific, psychological, all that stuff, that's good stuff, but it's not over. We put it over God and His Word, which we need. Nothing trumps God, amen? Nothing trumps Jesus. Nothing trumps the Holy Spirit. Nothing trumps the Word of God. This isn't about your opinion. This is about the Word of God, amen? But there are a lot of people that aren't here today because this is what they choose to do. They say they believe in the Word of God, but their emotions come above the Word of God, or their own thoughts and their own opinions become Word of God. So if you ask my opinion about the Word of God, I'll say, well, let me ask you, there's a few things in the Bible that we do talk about opinions because we're not sure about some things, but listen, we can get it if we dig deep enough. God has the answer. Amen? God has the answer. So here we go. Now, here's what I believe in closing. Some of you are getting ready and you're heading toward the cave. You see it, you sense it. You're heading toward a place of brokenness and heartaches and loneliness, and you're heading toward the cave, and you know it. You know it. And you know some many times your life is not right where it needs to be with God. That's not where it needs to be, and you know you're scared because you know when you're going, but you put the face on, you look good, you look right, but you're going through it, and you're getting ready to head there, but you're trying to do everything you can to not let anybody know you're about ready to step into a den. Some of you today are in the lion's den. You are there. You're in a situation that you are struggling. You're struggling, but you're not sharing it. Maybe one or two people might know. But you're struggling and you're working through it by yourself. And you're in there and you're not sure if God's going to come through. I want to remind you not to lean on your emotions. I want you to remind yourself in the Spirit that God never leaves His people. God will never let you do it all on your own because He knows you can't. But also remind yourself that although right now weeping may endure in the evening, but the joy comes in the morning. You got to have a hope. When you're in the cave, you need to have a hope. And there are some of you that have come out on the other side. When you have come out of that dark cave, when you come out of that den, and you've been in a battle, you've been in a spiritual warfare battle, and you come out and God has given you victory, and you need to do one thing, just as Daniel did. You need to testify to what God has done for you in your situation. So some of us are heading toward a cave, some of us are in the cave, and some of us are walking out. None of them are better than others. None of us make us either better because I'm walking out or I'm worse because I'm walking in. No, sometimes life situations just happen. And we got to deal with these things. But I want to tell you, we got to do it the way Daniel did. We got to stay faithful every day. We got to pray every day. We got to stay and trust God through everything. The good days and the bad days. Learn how to smile and love the Lord. But also you can worship God with a saddened heart. Did you know you can worship God with a broken heart? You can worship God with a broken heart. And I want to tell you, you can. And you can worship God with a happy heart. What does that make you? That makes you faithful. That makes you faithful. You're not just tempered to one side or to the other, but you're solid. And that's what God wants to see. How solid is my servant? How solid is my servant Ashley? Well, she's going to be going through a cave. Sometimes you don't know you're going to, but you're going to go through one. Same thing with you, Bob. It's every one of us. You're going to go through something. And here's one for you, and here's one for you. Is it God that's doing all these? God is allowing it to be a testing moment for us that when we walk out, that we become stronger. Did you know what happens after this moment? If we do it the right way, you know, we get to experience the testimony. But in closing, there it is. God is the one that's lifted up. Amen? Here's what he says. The King Darius wrote, he said, this is what it is. Then King Darius wrote to those in every nation, every people, nation, and language who live on all the earth. May your prosperity abound. I issue a decree. That means a law. Then in all my royal dominion, people must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. For he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Daniel is mentioned very smallly, very small. And God is mentioned big time. And you know what this moment did? Sometimes your cave time moments, God will use for bigger moments. The people in the land that didn't even know who God was heard about a God they never even heard of. Advertisement. Sharing who God is. He is the living God. Isn't that amazing? They served all kinds of gods, but I'm telling you what, when somebody walks through fire and they don't get burnt, somebody goes through the lion's den and they don't get eaten, somebody's about to say, these guys are worshiping the same God, and he is the living God. Listen, you can say what you believe, you can sit there and tell everybody what you believe, how you believe, and what you do, but until it comes under fire and under testing, you're not going to know how strong you really are, amen? And when you come out on top, guess what? True believers do what? They exalt the name of Jesus. And they lift up the name of the Father. Amen? Let's stand. I want to give you an opportunity this morning that if you want to come and pray, wherever you're at in your life, wherever you are heading toward a cave, or you're in that moment of darkness already, or you're coming out, maybe you want to come down and give God praise for something he brought you through. I'm telling you, God's name needs to be lifted up more than what we're doing. Amen? Amen? It needs to be lifted up more than what we're doing. All right. Come on, somebody give me a smile. It's God. God is good. God is good. But I know some of us are smiling, but inside, we're not. I don't have a perfect family. I've had issues with my own family. I don't have a perfect life. I've had issues with my life. Me and Carla love each other. We're not a perfect couple. I have great kids. I love my kids, but they're not perfect kids. Everybody's had a financial issue from time to time. Everybody's had a vehicle breakdown from time to time. Everybody's had something come up. And the thing is, they're not going to stop. Moments are going to happen like that, and they're not going to stop. They're just not, because we live in this world. But it's how you work through each one of those. And it's a whole lot easier when you let God take over and you pray to the one that can lead you through. And you'll find yourself coming out on the other side victoriously. But I also will tell you, sometimes when you come out, it may not come out the way that you want. But you had an experience with God, and you will kneel before God. And you can worship Him with a sad heart. Now, I've worshiped Him with a sad heart. I don't like to do that. I'd rather worship Him with a happy heart. But you know what? God is God, and He's been faithful to me. Has He been faithful to you? I owe Him my life. I owe Him my faithfulness and my love in the good days and the bad. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. If you're in one of those places today, I'm challenging you to take a step in the direction toward Jesus. I'm not going to tell you to walk away from the cave. I'm not going to tell you to walk away from walking through it, because you can't do that. Sometimes you just can't. You have to deal with what's in front of you. And what's in front of you is bigger than yourself. What's in front of you is bigger than yourself. I'm going to share this real quick. Spiritual warfare starts like this. I can tell you some signs of spiritual warfare. Number one, relationships in your family start to dwindle. You start to have spikes and issues. Number two, you can also start to have financial issues that are beyond, like, they're just not normal. They're just one hit after another after another. Sometimes health issues are coming in. But when these things come in like a domino effect, you need to step back and take a look at it. It's just sometimes just not things of the world, but there is a spiritual attack happening in your life. It's not time to panic, but it's time to get right with God. It's time to pray and keep working that issue and those things out with God. God will see you through. God will not give you more than you can handle. God will not give you more than you can handle.